Tonight, if you'll turn to the book of Galatians, at chapter 6, I wish to continue the message that began last evening. Last evening, we talked about the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I wish to speak on glory and only in that cross. In the 12th verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh." Or that's pretty straight talk about it, isn't it? "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. And they do that lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." It's one thing to be religious and go through the motions. That's very popular. And you'll never know how to spell, much less experience, persecution for the cross. It's another thing to go through this life, glorying only in one thing, not in anything you've got. Any acts of the flesh, but only in the cross of Christ. Paul said the folks can go through the motions and try to get you to do this and that and the other as long as they want to, but it's for me. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's more lying and more absolute insulting is the word of God in the average testimony meeting in a Baptist church than anywhere this side of here. It's a wonder to me God Almighty don't kill this gang of church members bragging on themselves. The poor preacher, present company accepted, he gets up on Sunday morning and combs a bit people's hair and puts a little perfume on them and rushes to the door while somebody benedicts to shake hands with them, let them go on to hell. We're making a fair show of the flesh, but all of our talk is about what we've done. What nice people we are. Love to be in a meeting sometime, and the Apostle Paul would slip in testimony time about the only thing he'd say about himself, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious, and I was a blasphemer, but God. Paul learned by experience. This wasn't just doctrine with him. He'd come to the position when he said, "God forbid, perish the soul. Don't even think about me getting glory anywhere else except one place yonder outside the city of Jerusalem, taking place in time on this earth, when God in Christ hung on a cursed tree, a bloody, gory offering in the stead of sinners. God forbid that I should glory in anything except that." That's the one thing that counts. That's the one thing we'll do the ride the river with. That's the one place to find glory. That's the one place to get your joy. If it's in anything you've ever got, this generation of Baptists are going to go to hell, I tell you, with a sob in my heart, depending on something they've got. The Apostle Paul said, "I'll glory, not what I've done, but in him. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." But something happened there. He said two things happened there. Jesus Christ hung on the cross, I hung there with him. That's the teaching of the scripture. And he said, "The Word was crucified unto me. It's an enemy of mine. And I, under the Word, I look you in the face. Don't want anything you've got, but I've got to meet you at the death. What I say, just because I say it's not so, that I live on cornbread and meal where I could make lots of money. I can grace anybody's pulpit. I'm a highly educated fool. I know the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm not a novice. I'm an orator. I can tickle the class. I can bring the stars down. I can quote poetry. I'm telling you the truth. I've been offered pulpits the biggest in America. I know what you're talking about. You cannot move out of preaching if you leave the cross out of it. You can get on the radio and try to save America from communism. You boys keep on sending your dollars. The devil's tickled to death with every God-called preacher wasting his time fighting communism. We're called to preach the cross. You can sit mad if you want to. You can make money! If you'll engage in trying to put the bootleggers out of business, people will send you a dollar to help you fight the bootleggers. I know a man that's become a millionaire preaching against the picture shows, against one of those old Mexican stations, I know. But if you just preach the cross, this generation of church members not interested, and they won't pay you for that. But God bless your heart, this little life don't last very long. That lasts a long time. I'm betting my life on eternity and the judgment to come. I look in the face now and tell you this, that this generation of Christians, that I go up and down the country, and God's preachers tell me that most of their members don't even tithe. And ever since I've been a professing preacher, they've been telling me that what Baptists need is to be taught. It ain't what you need to be saved. Man that's a crook with his money is going to hell. You care who you are. Are you a deacon, a Sunday school superintendent, a preacher, whoever you are. You put your seat in hand on God's money that he says is good. You show your rebellion and your lawlessness, and you show that you never did it. As the old song goes, get on the cross and die there. Say that'll stop with Christ. And no longer are you your own. You're bought with a price, and you glorify God. That's what salvation is. That's what salvation is. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, the scriptures say, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. I'm quoting from the 16th to 1 Corinthians. Anathema means a curse. Maranatha means when Jesus comes. God bless your heart, this labor, day, night, crowd. I'm desperately interested in whether or not I have the kind of love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse talking about. But I don't care how much profession I make, unless I have the right kind of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he's gonna curse me. Now listen to me. And the kind of love that's required of anybody, if he shall escape the damnation of the Lord God, is to be head over heels in love with him and find your great satisfaction in just looking at him as he works at his job. And I speak to you tonight, listen to me now. Nobody on God's earth knows your condition with God except you. I don't. I can't unsay it. But if God's my judge in this day, where anything goes for salvation, when I meet you at the judgment, you're not going to say, I'm nice, brother. I'm going to rob you of your faith if I can. I'm going to knock your assurance into a cocked hat if I can. If I haven't disturbed you, you're in a bad case. You meet God. That's the God's truth. Listen to me. Unless the thing that gives you the deepest joy and the deepest satisfaction of your life day by day is the hold in Jesus Christ as a bloody, gory, messy offering on a cruel treaty. And unless you see God's glory there and rejoice in that, you are not saved. And I'm going to warn you tonight that I ain't talking about what you did yesterday. If you've got to go back to yesterday that you're evidence you're a child of God, you one day too late, you're going to hell. It's today, brother. If I could sit down by you and I as God and I could look inside of you, where'd you find your big satisfaction today? What made you tick, get the doorbell ringing in your soul today? If there's anything on God's earth except this thing I'm talking about, you missed Christ, folks.
Amen.
You missed him. Why, you going to hell with this gang of Sunday morning church members or the trust thing, something they said happened 15 years ago. Jesus Christ is forever in the heart of God on the cross. And that sounds terrible in the world. Says, I don't want to hear it, but the same person says, that's my glory. What keeps me going when all hell's popping? Jesus Christ on the cross. And unless today you found great joy not only in hell, as he works at his job, for he still works through that cross. The world a popping. You were able today to rejoice in the fact that he's forever on the throne. He's running this whole world, and you're glad he is. Thank God. God bless your heart. I'm talking about folks that love him. You like him. Somebody said, I like John F. Kennedy. He's a nice, cultured, well-educated person. He is. People who've been intimate with him say he's the soul of courtesy. But they say, I like him, but I don't like him as president. But he is president. Somebody says, I like Jesus Christ, but I don't like him hanging on the cross. But in the heart of God, that's where he is. And this generation of church people say, I want Jesus, but I don't want him on the throne. He shall not reign in my life. And the marks of the Lordship of Christ are conspicuous by their absence today. We have a generation of professing Christians. Every man does that which is right. In his own sight, and on the road to hell, you include. Man who does not know the rule of Jesus Christ in his everyday life has missed Christ. He knows nothing about the Christ of Revelation. What you talking about, preacher? I don't know whether I love him. But the kind of love the Bible requires, so when he comes, he won't curse me. And I love him on the cross. I love him. I love to sing those old songs, in the cross of Christ I glory. Why? In that bloody thing, yes. In the cross of Christ I glory. Towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. When the woes of life forsake me, and they will, hope this team. And fears annoy, never shall the cross forsake me. Lo, it glows with peace and joy when the sun of bliss is beaming, light and love upon my way. From the cross the radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross of sanctified peace is there that knows no measure. Joys that through all time abide. I love to sing down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of fire flowed in me. Oh, heaven, somebody cut at the curb, don't go to hell, depending on something back yonder. Don't call yourself a Christian. is today the glory won in Him on that blessed cross. Oh, yeah. I would go up and down this land, talk to people like I do by that testimony, and ask to you from the Lord. Somebody said one time, ask the faith, keep a fellow so he won't go to hell. That faith that doesn't continue day by day, bringing you to the cross every day, bringing you to kneel again at the throne of Him sitting there every day, brother. That's the faith that saves. That's God's faith. Not one time in the New Testament is everlasting life vouchsafed to anybody kept in connection with the days of abiding obedience faith. You better believe it. And we Baptists are sending people to hell so fast they're going to pick up dust in the devil's face by compounding, making a succession with coming into vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, does the cross bring you joy now? Do you glory in the cross? That bloody thing. I like to sing when I ask the day. The wondrous cross. You know, if you love the Lord, you love His gospel. Every member of this church was providentially hindered, but saved to be here tonight because a saved person loves the gospel. That's the gospel. Baptists don't love the gospel. They're Sunday morning people, this generation. You can't love the Lord and not love the truth about Him. You love Him, you love His church. Isn't that right? Praise today the wondrous cross. God bless your heart. You went all day today and didn't. You've missed Him, I'll tell you that. This thing's vital. Praise today the wondrous cross on which the press of glory shines. It does something to a man. My riches gained, I count but loss. And for He sent upon my pride, what did it, Lord, that I should hope, save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that God made most, I sacrificed unto His blood. Here from His head, Julia, His head, by faith, Julia, His faith, by faith, Julia, go mingle down, such love and sorrow meet, or thorn composed so rich a crown. Where the whole realm of nature mine was a present far too small, love so amazing. So there, God bless your heart, it'll get it. There, my soul, my life. Now, this little occasional lip service to Jesus Christ is going to land this generation of professing Christians right flat dab in hell. It'll be Jesus all in all and not at all. God bless your heart. He won't accept anything less. Why did Paul? Glory only in the cross, preacher. Negatively, he didn't preach this cross for men to find thy glory. To entertain anybody, or to educate anybody. I don't know what happened to us a few years ago. We went into the entertainment business. Now, there the church ought to charge admission. People come up to me, and you'll get a little mad about this, and say, preacher, I enjoyed your sermon. I think I know what you mean, but sometimes when I'm feeling a little bad, I stick out my entertainment. They charge admission to the picture show. This world's going to hell. They brought in a preacher to entertain. Churches have been built all over this Piedmont section on certain type of music that you can dance by but not worship by, you know. Just catering to the flesh. Paul said, build up the flesh, make a show of the flesh. Get away from the persecution of the cross. We're not from that cross of Christ to entertain people. And you're a preacher who is an orator. He lives in Memphis, Tennessee. And learned to pick the sermons so they were the very acme of perfection, perfectness, and oracle. He preached everything except the cross. He was called to the hospital to the deathbed of an attorney. This attorney had to be out of town a lot, but he'd travel all night, Saturday night, to get back to listen to the preacher on Sunday morning, like he hadn't preached. He came to his deathbed suddenly and called for the preacher, and he rebuked the preacher and told him, he said, I spent many a Saturday night riding on a Pullman so I could hear you preach. I'd like to hear you, but you never told me about the Lord, and I'm down. And he broke the preacher's heart. Too late. He talked to him about the Lord, but it's too late. The man died. That man walked the streets of Memphis. He caught him washing his hands in the Mississippi River. This actually happened. He shut himself up and wouldn't preach for 6 weeks. Like the gone preach. He changed his message and turned 12 blocks of Memphis into a mourner's day. But he didn't do it by entertaining. He did it by the old story of the bloody cross.
Amen.
It's offensive to religious people. They had them grind their teeth at me and want to kill me since they couldn't get to God, they'd get to me. It's foolishness to the wiseacre, but unto those who are saved, it's the power of God, that bloody cross. Not for entertainment, not for education. The world's got to be blown up by educated infidels. Got everything in their head, nothing in their heart. The radio and the television, the newspaper keep us all nerves, edge in our nerves every day. Well, tomorrow will be the day when this whole world's going to be blown up by educated fools that do not know God. No man knows what a day will bring forth. The Apostle Paul wasn't about to preach the cross, to educate the head, instead of convert the hearts of men and women. I knew a woman in a southern city, cultured, well-fed, and they asked her to sing in the choir in her church, and it offended her because some of the people in the choir had untrained voices, and she was mortified that they would ask her to sing with those untrained voices. She went away from the church building in high dudgeon, and inadvertently she heard her servant girl locked in her room. And she stopped hearing the noise, and inadvertently, not meaning to eavesdrop, she heard the little servant girl praying that the Holy Spirit would come and convict her mistress and bring her to Christ. And it broke the woman's heart, and she got saved, and she went and begged them to let her sing in the choir. And a poor, fallen, prostitute girl fell in a state of half death on the steps of her mansion, and she picked her up and became the first woman and that city established a home for broken hearted girls. Ah, the Apostle Paul didn't preach. The educated people up here, he's looking at this thing. Looking at this thing. Why did he glory on in the cross and preach it? You couldn't get him preaching anything else. He said, I determined not to know anything. Not to know anything among you. Ain't gonna get me a quartet to get a crowd or a string band or a picture show or something else. I'm gonna stay with it all night. I know it'll make religious people mad and all Isaacers laugh, but it'll get somebody saved. I'm gonna stay with it. And I won't know anything except Christ and him having been crucified. That's all I'm gonna preach. What'd you do it for? He had five reasons. First, you want somebody to get born. New birth, my friend, is something God has to do. You better listen to the preacher now. The new birth is something you accept about as an unborn baby. Unless God quickens you, unless God Almighty touches you, they say this is fatalism. Down in my country, they say that's what the old primitive Baptists believe. I guess they're really right. But I don't know about that. It's what the Bible teaches. Brother, unless you are born from above, you're gone. The only power to quicken men is in the hands of that one. Because he was on the cross, is now on the throne. That woman, listen to me. He pressed through the crowd, he suffered at the hands of many physicians. He was nothing better. He said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. And she pressed through the crowd and touched his garment. And immediately, he felt power go out of him. Listen to Brother Barton. And he turned and said, who touched us? And the disciples said, you've gone crazy. All this press the crowd, this crowd. You don't know who touched me. Just said, that's the difference. He said, I felt dunamite, power, lurch, and go out of him. You better listen to me. The old time Baptist preachers didn't know near as much as we do, but what they knew was so. And they knew this, that something's got to happen to you, my sister. That literally came you from top to bottom. They used to preach that when a man was born of the Spirit, God did something for him. That man didn't love what he used to hate and hate what he used to love. And that ain't good theology, but it's a God's truth. This stuff we've got now that I got converted, but I didn't get changed, just is not so. It's just not so. How knew that there wasn't any power in heaven or earth or hell or anywhere to transform a man like Rothbard or you and put something inside of him that'll make him love righteousness and strain after it and run from sin? Except the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, unless he touched you, you bear in your life the evidence of his touch. You are thrice a fool to call yourself a Christian. The new birth is the work of God. Listen to me carefully. It can be known only by its fruits. And there are just two fruits of a new birth. Repentance toward God daily. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ daily. The little baby comes from the mother's womb. And the doctor spanks it. He spanks it and they listen. They're hoping to hear a how. Because the how is evidence. Is life. Don't tell me you've been touched by the living Christ. Unless daily you live a life of repentance. And daily you live a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Don't you go to hell telling me about what happened some time ago. It's the day we're talking about. It's the day. Paul wrote it in the cross and preached it so men would be made holy. God demands holiness. Apart from holiness, no man shall see God. You tell me you're a Christian, you do not live a holy life, and I tell you, you're wrong. It is impossible for a Christian to live anything else except the holy life. And if you're living an unholy life, you've missed Christ. I'm not bragging on people, I'm bragging on the power of God. Anybody who's been touched by the living Christ, if you come into vital contact by faith, he'll touch you. And into you will come power from on high. I was a church member 11 years before I saved. No way I ordered it, but told me I was a Christian. I found out I wasn't. You want me to tell you how? Same way you can. There was no supernatural power in me. I could not combat sin sin. Instead of overcoming it, it could overcome me. But all God does, the Christian's got to do, even when the devil comes around, is resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And to every Christian, the solemn promise of Almighty God is that sin shall not lord it over you anymore. I ain't bragging on people, that's bragging on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian, somebody that's got Almighty authority power into. He lives a life this world cannot understand. Because he's in touch with the power this world doesn't have. All wanted people to be made holy. All wanted people to be redeemed. And the price of redemption is the go-red, bleeding, life laid down of the eternal Son of God. The Lord didn't enter heaven, the book of Hebrews tells us, with bulls and goats, the blood of bulls and goats. But he entered into heaven with his own blood and said, this is the price of redemption. Thanks be unto God, you're redeemed. Not for the vain tradition of your fathers and not with silver and precious gold. But you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All on people to keep out of hell. Thank God. Paul didn't live in this generation when the only use we got for the word hell is to use it to cuss with. He believed that men were in danger of hell. And he believed that the only escape from the torments of hell was to be vitally joined to the only one who ever dealt with God's holy law and came out victorious. If I get keep out of hell, it'll be simply because I've been joined by faith and thus can have it as my own. Have an interest in what my Lord did. If I get out of hell, keep out of it, it'll be because I got a substitute who dealt with God's holy law in my stead. Paul wanted people to go to hell. He wasn't as practical as we are. He thought hell's a place to be shunned. Heaven was a place to be gained. He wanted people to spend eternity with the Lord. He just kept on preaching about the only one who purchased the right to set men free. He just kept preaching about that cross on which Christ died. God took him off of it and put him on a throne because of what he did there. He just kept preaching the Christ who's been crucified and is now alive. The other place, that ain't God, except that. That's where every man's hope must be. Shut men up to that. For the only hand that can lead a man to his desired haven, take him home to glory, is the hand of him who by way of a cross sitting on throne now, and left God, he can lead you home. He can lead you home. My old mother raised 7 children. I can hear her when I was a kid of a boy. She'd be dusting the furniture or cooking biscuits on a wood stove, manning a vacuum cleaner, a dishwasher, nothing else in all those days. And she wouldn't know she's singing, but she had a favorite song. He used to sing, I'm going home. I'm going home. He thought she was. I'm going home. I'm going home to spend no more. He thought she was. Let us stand. Let's sing our song before we go home. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Men and women are locked up in God's death row. They're not going to be placed under condemnation, they already are. They're there in the death row waiting the execution of a just sentence for having broken God's holy law. And they're in that cell and the door's locked. And they don't have the key, and they can't get out. Jesus comes along, he's got the key. You haven't, sinner, Christ has. Oh, I know an old sinner in that locked cell can do. Stand up! While you're liberating sinners, stop at my cell door, Lord. I'm locked up! I have yet to see can't get out. Don't you think I'm a coward? But we're in for a battle. Whether God will ever be able to do anything with us, I don't know. For 60 years we've been preaching the gospel. Put the key in the sinner's hand. Never has been that in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one to get you out of your cell. God bless your heart. That's the reason I say go home and seek him. Seek him tomorrow while you work. Don't tell me you're a Christian unless your life is characterized by seeking after the Lord. And you won't get hurt. You'll just get a sweeter taste of the Lord. And I ain't going to unsave anybody. But I tell you to go home and seek the Lord. Beg him not to pass you by. You can't dictate to him. You can plead with him, Lord. You don't have to, and I can't make you, and I don't deserve it. But if you will! You can make me whole. And in that instant, the Lord turned and said, I will. I bet he would with you. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Our Father, holy saint, pray. The Holy Ghost will be merciful. He alone who knows the hearts of these people. He alone who can penetrate that spirit will take truth and disturb people who need to be disturbed. Rob people of peace if they got false peace. Rob them of assurance if they got false assurance. Strip them. Oh, Spirit of God, don't let them go to hell without one more time disturbing them and alarming them and waking them up to that condition. We beg you to do it if it pleases you. In his name.